Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer. If you haven't played a video game since the days of Atari, you might be surprised that just last year, the worldwide game industry hit $91 billion in revenue. For comparison, worldwide box office revenue last year was $39 billion. Those numbers don't surprise Duncan Watt. Watt has composed music for some of the most popular games in the world, like BioShock Infinite and League of Legends. And if you're not familiar with those games, we're not talking Tetris or Pac-Man. They're complex, sweeping epics with multiple storylines, often geared toward multiplayer adventures. Duncan teaches game scoring at the Berklee College of Music and is the founder of Fastest Man in the World Media. Duncan joins us now in studio. Welcome to Radio Boston, Duncan.
Hi there.
I'm going to get to your work on video games in a moment, but I want to start with where you come from.
Okay.
You were born into a family of classical musicians, right?
Yep. So my dad was when he was younger, was, a forced pianist. Is that the right way to put it? He ended up going to school. He went to Harvard and then bailed on the piano and ended up going into psychology. My mom still is even at her advanced age, is a phenomenal harpist. So it was a fantastic experience being young. There was always music in the house. I'd fall asleep listening to mom practice harp. All of us would every evening. So yeah, she also was very interested in contemporary classical music. So we'd listen to the Planets and Berlioz and all these interesting things.
So you grew up listening largely to a diet of classical, but do you gravitate toward a particular type of music now?
What a great question. I love extremes of emotion. It doesn't really matter what the genre is. So if it's sad, I really don't want to be able to get up off the floor. And if it's aggressive, then I want to feel uncomfortable at the end of it. Personally, that's my thing.
So I want to really dive into video games. When most people think about video games, they're probably thinking about the classics, like Tetris, Super Mario Brothers. But those, let's be clear, those video games are very different from the games that you're producing scores for.
Sure.
Your games are, from what I've seen, more like full movies. These characters go on epic adventures. And I want to just, you're not accompanying them with the sort of familiar 8-bit sounds that many people might think of, the Donkey Kong and the Pac-Man, but complete scores. So let's take a listen so we can get a sense of just how engrossing your scores are. That's from the game League of Legends. It's part of the medley Snow Battle, Summoner's Rift, the Twisted Treeline. Tell us about these and what you were going for with that sound.
Okay, so for League of Legends was a very rushed piece of work. It was it's gone on to become huge. League of Legends is a little different than most games in that it's a multiplayer game. You don't play it by yourself. So you'll have 3 or 5 on each team, from all around the world, all playing at the same time. And it's sort of like sports with Pokemon, for lack of a better word. The games are about 40 to 70 minutes, 60, 70 minutes long, depending on how the teams do, which means they listen to that piece of music a lot. Basically, what you're hearing is mostly virtual instruments, rather than mostly the computer, with some things played over, but I basically played all that myself, all in a couple of days, very quickly. The main map is something that people play over and over and over again. It had to be something that was interesting and cool, but it didn't take away from the gameplay.
So you said this process was a bit rushed because you had so much going on and you had to get this game done.
Yeah.
But what is sort of your normal creative process, with a game like this or with other games? How do you kind of begin to conceptualize what the music will sound like, what you want it to evoke on the part of the player?
Right. Well, games are collaborative. It's very similar to working on an opera. Therefore, it's really the design starts with the designers, the game designers. think the hardest part is determining what it is we're going to focus on with the music. Is it the player's experience? Is it a leitmotif? Does Darth Vader come in? Do we play the Darth Vader theme? Is it a location? Is it based on player health or the progress of the game? It could be anything.
So I want to play your piece from the game, Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway. The piece is called Those We Lost. What happens in this particular game and where this happens in the game?
So the game's a relatively realistic World War II shooter. Your role is to lead a bunch of soldiers through these realistic simulations of what happened at the time in Eindhoven and some of the other surrounding areas. So we needed to find something that worked while still honoring like the reality of the moment. And the ask was to be very American. But that particular scene is a difficult scene for the player to play. It is an extreme of emotion. The player's been attempting not to, the character's been attempting not to face the reality of what's happened over the last couple of days. And he does in this scene.
As I understand it, that was recorded with a full orchestra and choir in Prague.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
That must have been an amazing experience in and of itself.
Yeah, I had music played a number of different times, but to be direct and not to get too emotional about it, that wasn't that far away from where all this stuff happened. A number of these musicians were elderly, and so it was a heavy moment for a lot of people involved.
I would imagine some of the musicians actually had lived through World War II.
That's exactly right. And there you are in Prague, Of course, you're all jet-lagged. So there was a lot of emotions on that day.
You mentioned one of the instructions was to make it sound American. You hear the snare drum in there. Yep. What were the other elements when somebody says, do you make it sound American, that you put in? I heard chimes, snare drum again. What reads American to you?
I think part of it is depends on that definition. That sort of American battle music kind of feel. These are stereotypes that, to be direct, come from mostly from film. For some reason, every time someone's a cowboy in the desert, you're going to hear a guitar go, nar, 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 then you're going to shake it, then there's going to be a harmonica go. But if it wasn't for those spaghetti westerns, why are we playing electric guitar in the middle of the desert, right?
Yes.
So the same thing happens. The other thing is you have to look at it like in a film you're going to record maybe 40 to 50 minutes of music at maximum, and that's it. You're just going to deliver it. Games can have hundreds of hours of music from numbers of different sources. Most games average out maybe between 2 and 4 hours of music.
And that's because you have to have music that accommodates all the different scenarios that could play out in a game, correct?
Exactly. It's the accommodate is the right word. What happens if the player goes into the bar and then makes friends with the bartender? What happens if he goes into the bar and it turns out that he was doing something horrible with the bartender's sister? All these things. And you can see the side of that is sometimes the best stuff that you get written for the game the player never hears because they don't do those things.
I want to turn to another one of your pieces. BioShock Infinite won Best Original Score at the 2014 BAFTA Awards. Also, IGN named it one of the top 25 games of the decade. This is the piece Vals Immorale, number one. I love that. But you have to tell listeners when that plays in the game.
I will. That particular piece played in an adult bookstore at really the worst time. The game that part of the game, you're actually playing as the female character, which is not something that you would normally do in BioShock Infinite, and it's a very powerful, hopefully, moment for the player. They're going, what is this? And it's mean and awesome at the same time.
So, okay, and let's also be, you know, one of the influences clearly Scott Joplin,
sure.
In that piece. And so I'm curious how you go from, okay, I have to write for a scene in an adult bookstore, and that gets you to, ooh, I'm going to do a riff on Scott Joplin's music.
To be honest, a lot of that was a collaboration with Jim Bonney, who was the music director on BioShock Infinite. And the ask there was for that scene, and you know, he said, can you do something with the theater organ? We have already, there is actual Scott Joplin music in BioShock Infinite, something else that I was lucky to do.
So one of the things about composing video game music is that you need so much of it, as you've said. And you gave us this piece from the game Kingdoms of Amalur. But this game was never actually released. It's never been heard. It's called Letting Father Go. Let's listen. So give us a little bit of a history for that piece and its origins.
Well, the origins, the game itself, Kingdoms of Amalur, was the big MMO that the pitcher, Kurt Schilling, had started a company to make. Never came out. Bad business. And 450 people got dropped a couple weeks after Christmas.
How is that listening to it, knowing that people didn't get to hear it? Is it difficult?
Yeah, it's not as difficult because of the audience, because who knows, you know, how successful it would be. No, it's because, you know, music is, I don't think you can detach yourself from the music that you make, you know? So it reflects the things that are happening at the time. And I think that one does really well.
You get emotional listening back? I mean, I see you. You do seem a bit emotional in the studio when you're listening back.
Well, of course. It's exciting to hear those kind of things. I don't know. I think that when you listen to music, it's situational. I think the people that you're listening to it with affect it. I think that the time, you can't take that out of the moment. This is something that the person who put together the games, the whole curriculum for the games system at Berkeley, his name is Michael Sweet, says, and we have a slide on it. Music is inherently propaganda in that you can't separate it from the time or the moment.
I feel like we're doing your greatest hits here, but you composed this piece, both, you know, out there and some that have, you know, haven't seen the light of day for various reasons. But you composed this piece for the mobile game Honor of Kings. It's called Forest Music, and it won Best Music in a Casual Social Game at the 2016 Gang Awards. Let's have a listen to that. A big smile comes on your face when you're listening back to this.
Yeah.
Why?
It's all my favorite things, all in one little spot. It's like having your best friend over and cooking them dinner, you know? All your friends are there. Oh, there's Copeland, and Stephen Reich is always there. And,
definitely hear the Copeland influence.
Yeah, and it feels American and sweet and wonderful and all those. It feels blue and green and purple and all those things, you know, rather than a lot of the times us composers in video games get called on to make epic video game music, and, you know, and you're very much writing that same type of material over and over again. That was also fascinating because the music team for that, Jeff Broadbent wrote a bunch of material, and then Hans Zimmer and Lorne Balfe wrote the opening. So this has really nothing to do with that musically, but it was fascinating to be doing all this, and it was all in for a Chinese company. So all these people coming from all over the world, all working on this thing. I love that. I love that music just transcends all of that. And they're like, we just need some great music.
I love the fact that Hans Zimmer is involved. And I'm wondering, do you sit down and listen to something like Fanfare for the Common Man or Appalachian Spring and then go write? I mean,
no.
Like some Copland songs and then go write? Or
no, people that are in my age group grew up with Beef. It's what's for dinner. You know, so we all know Copland.
It's sort of in you. Really, it's embedded in your soul, your music
hopefully.
Soul.
Yeah, or at least my funny, weird version of it, which, again, sounds more like Rush than Copland, but whatever.
Do you play video games? It sounds like you do.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
And do you get, like, if you're playing, do you get distracted by your own music? If you're playing a game that you've created a score for, is it like, oh, yeah.
It's hard to play your own game objectively because your head's in it all the time.
And what are you still hoping to do in the world of video game music?
I've been very lucky to hit a bunch of different things. It's going to sound cheesy, but for me, I'm much more excited about watching what the students do, because you do all this work. It's like, I feel like I just carried all this neat stuff of my generation, all these things back to the home. Like, dropped it onto the table. Go, okay, now you got a bunch of people who know what they're doing. The game engines are smart. Everybody knows what's going on. You got intelligent gamers. You got the internet, all this stuff. How about you try doing this? And then they come up with these ideas. You're like, where were you 20 years ago? You know, so that's really the exciting part right now, is watching what happens with them. Because apart from that, it just turns back into chords and melodies and whatever.
Duncan Watt is an assistant professor of film scoring at the Berklee College of Music. He's also the founder of Fastest Man in the World Media. Thank you for coming in, Duncan.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll end today on one of Duncan's pieces. This is A Thief by Night from the game Third Eye Crime. You can hear the full track and even more of this interview at our website, radioboston.org. For more on the breaking story out of Barcelona, stay tuned for All Things Considered. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.